to Matthew chapter 5 as we continue our study through the Gospels. Thankful for you being here tonight, and pray the Lord will bless his word as we continue to study the Sermon on the Mount as Jesus has his disciples, his church on the hillside, and is teaching them. And we come to Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 to 26 tonight. If you're able, let's stand together to honor the Word of God. Wasn't that a great special? I was listening to see how loud the ladies would amen that. And my ears must be clogged up or something. Matthew 5, 21. That's not right. Just kidding. What I meant to say was 27. Unless you want to hear last Sunday night sermon again. And I think you don't. Verse 27, Jesus says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that it will convict our hearts tonight, that you would search us and try us, help us to examine our lives, and if there's anything that we need to get right with you tonight, please, Lord, give us the grace and mercy we need to repent, confess, be made right with you. Forgive us where we fail you, Lord. Help us to live holy lives before you. Lord, help us to be challenged and convicted by your word tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. You've heard this question many times because we use this so many times in what we call the good person test. We ask somebody if they've ever told a lie, and they say, "Well, yeah, sure, everybody's told a lie." And you say, "Well, what does that make you if you've told a lie?" "Well, a liar." "Well, have you ever stolen anything?" "Well, probably when I was small." "Well, what do you call somebody who steals things?" "A stealer." "No, a thief." "Okay, thief." And we kind of go through the law, and one of the things I like to ask is this one. And Jesus says, you've heard it said of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. And everybody understands that. You ought not cheat on your spouse. We get that, and we understand that. Even the world understands that today. But Jesus doesn't just say that. He says, "But I say unto you, whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." And looking with lust is a severe problem in our world today. There's some good indicators of that. I'll just go ahead and tell you, I think most people are guilty of that. It seemed like when I was younger that it was a stereotype that was mostly associated with men, but it's become epidemic for everybody, men and women alike, in our country today. I want to give you a few statistics tonight. On the internet, there are over 420 million pornographic websites. 420 million. The largest consumers of internet pornography are those that are 12 to 17 years old. Did you hear that? 12 to 17-year-olds. As a matter of fact, the average age of exposure to pornography is 11 years old. I might throw up. 42.7% of people on the internet, which is almost everybody in the world, 42.7% view pornography. The pornography industry has a larger revenue, listen to this, than the top technology companies combined. You combine the revenue of Microsoft, Google, Amazon, eBay, Yahoo, Apple, Netflix, and Earthlink. Internet pornography business is bigger than all of those combined. That's staggering. Women, more than men, are likely to act out their behaviors of their online life in real life. 60% of all Christian men and 30% of all Christian women say that they are addicted to pornography. 60% of the women who answered the survey admitted to having significant struggles with lust, and 40% admitted to being involved in sexual sin in the past year. I give you all those statistics because they represent people. Those are real people that were honest in filling out their surveys, and I wanted to give you all that to let you know that this is a real problem in churches, and it's not just a problem with men, it's a problem with women, it's a problem with people, because people are sinners. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, tonight, the letter of the law. Jesus says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, we know the law literally says those words, Exodus 20:14, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, when Jesus says that you've heard it said of them of old time, I think that he's not just simply referring to the law itself, but to the writings of the rabbis. And we've already talked about this. The Pharisees and the scribes basically taught this. We talked about murder last week. Listen, as long as you don't murder anybody, you're okay. I've never murdered anybody. I'm good. I've never cheated on my wife. I'm good. And their attitude was, because they had kept the letter of the law, that they were good. But Jesus lets them know it's not about the letter of the law. It goes beyond that. If you look in the Old Testament in Proverbs 6, verses 27 to 35, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 27 to 35, the Bible says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. And we understand the letter of the law. We understand that if you go all the way, you commit adultery, that that's wrong, that it's sin, it's against the law. And under the law, the penalty of adultery, if a man and a woman were caught in adultery, there were two or three witnesses that could confirm it, then the man and the woman both were put to death under the law. And so the scribes and Pharisees, the Jews, they were like, listen, as long as I don't actually cheat on my wife, I'm okay. I'm good. But Jesus tells us that it's not just about the letter of the law. He says it's about the lust of the eyes. He says, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now, I want to say woe to all of the women who might look at that and say, well, it doesn't say anything about looking at a man. It's funny how sometimes we want to make all of the verses that talk about a man this and a man that, and we say, oh, well, that applies to men and women. Right? The good stuff, we want to make that apply to both. But the bad stuff, sometimes we only want to make that apply to the other ones. Right? So let me give you an example on the other side. You know that the Bible says that women ought to dress modestly? Did you know that? Okay, three of you know that. Good, we're on. Whew, it's rough. Is it the rain? Is that what it is? Coma-inducing rain. Okay. We know that women are supposed to dress modestly. Did you know men should dress modestly too? If I had any muscles to show off, I shouldn't do so. I might. You don't know. That's right. So you're just going to be left wondering. I wonder if Brother Isaac has any muscles under that suit. You're not going to know. You're just not going to. It's going to be left to the imagination. No, you're not going to find out. I don't. The boys that have stayed with me in the cabin are going to rat me out. That is not muscle. No, but we understand that applies to both. It goes both ways. And so the women, the ladies don't get a free out here, because he says that if a man looks at a woman, no, anybody who looks with lust, it's adultery in the heart. I gave you those statistics, which, by the way, were shocking to me. Because we think this idea of pornography, this idea of looking with lust, we think that's a male problem, but it's not. It's a human problem. And so Jesus says the lust of the eyes is what the problem is. It's not about what you actually physically do. It's about what's in your heart. Just like we learned last week when he said, listen, it's not just if you go all the way and murder somebody. No, it's if you hate somebody. If you have ill feelings toward them, if you want bad things to happen to them, if you think they deserve to be punished, you are judging them, your heart is not right, and you're a murderer in your heart. The same thing here. 1 John 2, Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. It's about the desire of our flesh. And when we give in to that desire, now I want to just be straight up with you the best I can here tonight. Listen, you're going to see some things in your day-to-day life. We live in a sin-cursed world. We live in a fallen world. And listen, I already told you, you know, it gets over 70 degrees and everybody thinks they need to go out in public without any clothes on. It's bad enough they got to wear their pajamas to Walmart. It's 100 times worse when I have to go to Walmart and see that. I'm just trying to tell you, you're going to see some things in this world. David, we know David shouldn't have been at home. He should have been at the battle. But even still, when he went on the rooftop and he saw Bathsheba, he didn't sin because he saw her. Sometimes you see things you don't need to see, you don't intend to see. It's when he continued to look that he sinned. One time I had to go through a school to get certified, and I had to go to Henderson, Nevada. Well, Henderson is just on the outskirts of a place called Las Vegas. You ever heard of that? I had to go to the school out there, so I flew into Las Vegas. I'm going to tell you, you can't drive through nearby anywhere in the area of Las Vegas, Nevada, without seeing some stuff that you don't need to see. As a matter of fact, it's gotten a little bit better. I think a storm blew down one of the billboards between here and Salisaw that was ungodly. I was like, praise the Lord, that's awesome. But, I mean, sometimes there's billboards that are up. Now, this is not an excuse for us to sin. It's just the fact of the matter, there's going to be some things, and the decision is going to be whether we're going to continue to look and sin or we're going to not look. Are we going to indulge that lust? Now, Jesus puts this in perspective for us to let us know how serious it is. Look at verses 29 and 30. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now, I just got a question for you. How many of you value your eyes very much? Your eyes are precious to you. Would any of you sell me one of your eyes for $1 million? If you would sell one of your eyes for $1 million, anybody? I'd fall in. Yeah, I'm setting myself. Somebody in here's probably got a glass on. They'd be like, "Yeah, I'll give you." If you got a good working eye, would you sell it for $1 million? Would you sell both of your eyes for $10 billion? This is not a price, right? They're valuable to us. They're precious to us. But Jesus said, if your eye offends you. Now, we don't understand this word offend very well. We think that's when somebody hurts your feelings or something like that. This word offend actually means to be a stumbling block. It's the idea would be to cast a net, to ensnare you. This word offend means that it's something that trips you up. It's something that ensnares you. It's something that causes you to fall down. You guys with me? So if your eye causes you to fall, Jesus said you'd be better off digging your eye out and throwing it away than you would continuing in your sin and ending up in hell. So did Jesus literally mean for us to dig our eyeballs out with a spoon and throw them away? No. Does he literally mean to put your hand on the chopping block and take it off? No. So what does he mean? Well, you got to understand, Jesus is speaking here in the spiritual realm. He says, listen, I'm just telling you, not just committing adultery, but looking is wrong. The sin is in your heart. And he says, these things that will lead you astray, you've got to get rid of them. In Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 13, the Bible says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Listen, this is what the Lord's saying. reckon yourself indeed to be dead to sin, but alive unto God. He's saying you need to mortify your members. He's saying you need to kill the flesh. Not literally, but spiritually, we've got to die to the things of the flesh. Whatever the cost. Whatever we've got to do to not get ourselves tripped up. How many of you have an internet subscription at home? You got internet at home? How many of you have it on your phone? You got a data plan? How many of you know what a data plan? Okay. Amen. We've got all this access. I'm going to tell you that there are internet filters. There are so many easy ways that you can protect yourself from those things. It's not a bad idea anyway, even if you don't have a problem with that, to protect your family. I remember years ago I tried to go to Walt Disney's website. I don't even remember. I typed in Disney or something and ended up at some, it was bad. One time I tried to go, I was trying to do a research paper for college, and I tried to go to the White House website. It was not the White House. It was bad. So there's internet filters that can protect you. But what I'm trying to get to is, no matter how much you love the internet or think you have to have it, if you can't escape that addiction, you got to get rid of your internet. Take a baseball bat to your computer. That's the idea of what the Lord's getting at. Listen, whatever it is that's messing you up, that's tripping you up, that's causing a snare for you, get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Get rid of it. The lust of the eyes. So how do we overcome this? It's an epidemic in our country today. And it's not just the internet nonsense. It's just every day. It's going to town and seeing somebody and then looking again. It's seeing something and having a thought and then entertaining that thought. How do we combat against this? I want to give you a few things here, because what it takes to overcome this is the love of God. Okay, so we've got the letter of the law, the lust of the eyes, but then we have the love of God. Now in John chapter 8, you'll remember, we studied this a while back, that there was a woman who was caught in adultery, and they said she was in the very act. They throw her down in front of Jesus, and they say, Moses said in the law she ought to be stoned, but what do you say? And you remember how Jesus stooped down and was writing in the sand with his finger? You remember? And they all just stood there for a long time. And then finally he says, whoever's without sin, let him first cast a stone at her. Right? And they all go away, beginning at the eldest to the youngest, they all go away. And it's just Jesus still stooping down, writing in the dirt with his finger, and the woman there, the sinful woman. And he finally looks up and says, where are your accusers? And she says, there aren't any. Where are those that condemn you? She says, they're gone. And he says, neither do I condemn you. You know what that is? That's the love of God. See, friend, if you have fallen into this sin in particular or any other sin, the answer is the love of God. How can we be forgiven? The love of God. If the woman truly was, we don't know, that was the accusation against her. If the woman truly was caught in the act of adultery, did she deserve to be forgiven? Under the law, she deserved to be stoned. But Jesus forgave. Jesus didn't forgive. Jesus didn't give judgment, he gave forgiveness. And when we come humbly before God and we're honest before the Lord and confess our sin, he will forgive us. The love of God. It's his love not only to forgive us, it's his love to live by. In Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10, Romans 13, 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. You see, when you're like that adulterous woman, you've been caught in your sin, but you go to Jesus and he gives you forgiveness because of his great love and mercy, then you have the love of Christ in you and you can extend that love to other people. And one of the ways we show love to one another, we love as a neighbor, all of the law, all of the commandments are summarized in this. Love your neighbor. Listen, if you love your neighbor, you're not going to kill him. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal from him. You're not going to lie against him. You're not going to covet his stuff. And if there's any other commandment, you're not going to do your neighbor wrong if you love him. We're talking about adultery. We're talking about looking with lust. If we truly love our neighbor, we truly love other people, we won't do that. If we love our neighbor, we love that person, we love that person's spouse, we won't do that. It's love, and it's his love that forgives us, his love to live by. We also have to mortify the flesh. We studied in our class just a little while ago about this thing. We've got this dual nature. We've got the flesh that we have to contend with, the carnal man, the old man, and we've got the new man, the spiritual man, the inner man. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Mortify your members. We've got to die to the flesh. We've got to die to self. The flesh loves sin. The flesh loves to look. The flesh loves to think about things that it shouldn't. The flesh loves that stuff. So what do? Kill the flesh. Pluck out the eye, cut off the hand. Literally? No. Figuratively, spiritually speaking, you've got to remove whatever that is that's your stumbling block, whatever it is that's your snare, you've got to put it away. Put it away. What else can we do? Make a covenant with your eyes. Job said, "I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid?" He made a covenant with his eyes. You see, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I learned this in school. Your eyes are directly attached to your brain. Did you know that? That's a high quality Vian education at work right there. Your eyes are directly attached to your brain. But you have no idea, besides anatomically, how true that is. What you look at is what your mind thinks about. When you look at something, you think about it. I hate to keep using David, but we all understand, we all know, we all see the whole progression of how that all happened. But he saw her, he looked at her, and he continued. When he looked at her, he thought about her. How do you know he thought about her? Because he asked about her. Who is that? He went to his servants. I want you to find out who that is. Why? Because he had been thinking about her. And we don't know how long that transpired. Did he see her and immediately go down and ask? Or did he see her that evening and think about her for a while before he asked? We don't know, but I'm telling you, what you look at is what you're going to think about. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Make a covenant with your eyes not to look with lust. And then lastly, walk in the Spirit. I want to invite you to look with me in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. The more we're thinking about this whole thing of looking with lust, I want you to listen to what F.B. Meyer said. He said, "The first act in the religious life is to detect right and wrong in the thought or intention. If the tempter is arrested there, he is powerless to hurt. Kill the snake in the egg." Okay, do you get that? When you have a thought or an intention, your will is drawn towards something, you need to understand spiritually, is this thing that I am drawn to, is this thing I'm thinking about, is this good or is it evil? And if you are having an evil thought or an evil intention, your will is drawn to something wrong, if you understand that's not right, then you need to turn away from it immediately. While it's still just a thought, it's still just a desire, it's still just something that's enticing you, turn away from it immediately, kill the egg and the snake. Kill the snake and the egg. Kill the snake and the egg. How many of you are for killing the snake anywhere, anytime? Okay. Even better if it's in the egg, right? Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Listen, we've got these two natures when we're saved. The godly inner man, the spirit man, the saved part. We've got the flesh, the old man, the carnal man. And they are at war one with another. And every moment of every day, we make a decision. And every decision we make, we either choose to walk in the flesh or to walk in the Spirit. And when you've been saved for a second, you know the difference. You know when you're making decisions in the flesh or making them in the Spirit. But if we have received His love through forgiveness of our sin, like the woman, the adulterous woman, then we have His love in us and we can share that love with our neighbor. And if we love our neighbor, we won't look with lust. We can mortify the flesh, make a covenant with our eyes, and daily seek to walk in the Spirit. Tonight, we're going to get ready for an invitation. I know this is a real touchy topic that we're talking about, but just the statistics alone bear out that it's a real problem with Christians today. And I don't think there's any benefit to airing out anybody's dirty laundry or any of that kind of stuff, but I know there's a benefit for people getting right with Jesus. And it doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus said, if you look with lust, you've committed adultery already in your heart. If you have looked with lust, or if you have committed any kind of anything in that direction, or any of the other stuff we've talked about tonight, we've been walking in the flesh. We have a way to get right with God immediately tonight. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We can be made right with Him in a minute, in an instant. And it doesn't matter if you think you've sinned a whole bunch or just a little bit. Any step away from God is too far away. And if you're not close to the Lord tonight, I want to encourage you as we stand together and as we sing,